Hey, welcome to the show. This is John.
Today, I have Joe and Rebecca Lombardo joining us.
How have you guys been doing lately? What have you been up to?
We're trying to hold our own. We've got kind of a lot going on over here. Some good, some not so good. So we're trying to, to keep things in balance. I've been working this entire time. I'm an essential worker.
Oh, wow, Joe.
Yeah. So I've been doing that, just doing the podcast and just trying to keep our heads above water like everybody else, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Well, can you guys tell me a little bit about your podcast for those who are listening that don't know much about it?
Sure. It's a mental health podcast, and it's both of us. We like to say that it's me with my bipolar disorder and Joe as the support for my bipolar disorder. And you know, we like to interview guests in the mental health community. Just this past Saturday, we had a transgender guest who was also in the mental health community, and that was kind of groundbreaking for us. She was a fantastic guest, and it was our first transgender guest, and it really changed my views a lot on the whole community. It was a learning experience for sure.
Yeah. She was absolutely wonderful. Delightful to talk to. And, you know, we both feel really honored having her on the show, you know, especially considering, you know, we broadcast on an LGBTQ network. So it really kind of went hand in hand with what we've been doing for the last 3 years and where we've been doing it from, basically. So it was definitely something to be proud of. So
very cool.
Was a good highlight. And just to give her a quick shout out, it was Dr. Emmy J that we talked to. You know, a couple weeks back we celebrated our 100th show, which is very exciting.
Congratulations.
Thanks a lot. Yeah. We feel like we should have gotten there long before now, but you know, life gets in the way, as you know, from doing these things. And, you know, just trying to stay on top of things. And sometimes you have to take a break and, you know, real life happens, you know, you get a death in the family or what have you, you get different struggles that you, you know, it's all about self-care, really, and being able to step away from certain things to handle certain other things that you know, take priority in life, you know, as time goes on.
Definitely. Gotcha. So, well, you know, Joe, you were saying that that you have a good stuff and bad stuff going on kind of right now. And would you want to expand more on that or just kind of leave it at that?
Well, I've been struggling for the past few months with my depression, especially. And my doctor is trying out new meds for me. And I've been struggling with sleeping as well. So we're trying out medications to help me sleep, and they're good but also kind of bad because it's making me drowsy a lot of the time. So I'm, you know, I'm waiting for them to kind of, you know, kick in and mellow out a little bit. And you know, we just, what else would you say is going on, honey?
Well, you know, we're trying to hit run later on that. Our computer is deciding to do multiple things while we talk to you. We've got, like I said, we've got some good stuff going on, you know, like with the show, all these different landmark things and mm-hmm. whatnot, and, you know, participating and helping to raise our great niece. So that's been entertaining and challenging.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as far as the not so good, you know, like Beck said, trying to get her depression evened out and her meds, mm-hmm. that's been tricky, because it's been, she went from not sleeping at all to almost sleeping too much. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's uh-huh. feast or famine. You know, you can't get a good balance. So we're uh-huh. experimenting with that, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. We've got a sick animal in our care, and it's not looking too good.
Yeah.
So
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're probably gonna have to make a difficult decision here on the next day or two, which that is a huge drag. Because
mm-hmm. I know how it goes.
Yeah, our pets are just the world to us, and you know,
well, don't go,
they're a family,
don't go too far into that, because I'll get upset, and
yeah,
that won't be pretty at
okay.
all.
Yeah.
okay and, then we'll steer somewhere else, Rick.
You know, and then the biggest travesty of all is I've got pancake syrup on my leg.
Oh man, dang it.
Yeah, I really do. Yeah. I recovered it right before we got on the show, so that's going to be irritating until I can go and get it cleaned up. So
you're a train wreck.
I am, and you married me. Oh, so what's that say about you?
Yeah, Rebecca.
I love me a train wreck.
Oh. Yeah. So, you know, but other good things going on. You know, we're this August we'll be celebrating 19 years of marriage together, and we're excited about that.
Oh. Very cool. Congratulations. That's thank awesome.
You. Yeah, you know, yeah. we're going strong. You know, that's been the one nice thing through everything that's been going on, especially the last few months with, you know, the COVID-19 outbreak and all this stuff, is, you know, Beck and I, our relationship is so strong. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's something that we both really mm-hmm. take pride in. You know, mm-hmm. so I consider myself very lucky. I don't know how lucky she is, but you know, I'm a lucky dude. So,
and I'm lucky too. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you know, so that's
about it. You both are lucky.
Thanks, John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
That,
sure.
That's you know the main stuff. You know, just other than that, you know, various interests that, you know, have caught our eye. And like I recently discovered the show What We Do in the Shadows, which if you haven't watched it, highly recommend.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh, okay.
do you like shows like The Office or Parks and Rec, where they're shot kind of documentary style?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I do.
All right. Then you would like What We Do in the Shadows, because it's that with vampires.
Oh, cool. Very cool. I love vampire stuff. So. Oh,
it's ridiculously funny. So, in fact, this episode, Mark Hamill was the guest star on it.
Oh, that's and great. That's great. Just,
oh, he was great, and the whole thing was ridiculous, you know. And I've been trying to mm-hmm. get back to watch it with me, and she just...
I didn't like The Office or Parks and Recreation, so...
Oh, you no, didn't? Oh, yeah.
It's just not my bag, so I'm not...
I haven't sold her on it yet.
Yeah, yeah. He hasn't gotten me to watch it yet, but I don't know. Maybe someday.
I'll wear her down. So...
Yeah, eventually it'll
happen.
I cool. did watch Star Wars episodes 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah,
after I swore you would never get me to watch those, so...
Yeah, I broke her down on that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I broke her down on that.
Oh, nice. So, very cool.
You know.
Yeah, I can't get my wife to watch those with me at all. Oh. I'll have to wear her down, too. So.
It takes a hammer and a pretty big chisel, but you can do it.
Yeah.
You know, the secret is caving in and sucking it up and watching some of the movies that she wants to watch that, you know, in your lifetime, you would never sit down on your own and watch them.
Yeah.
Oh, it's gotcha.
It's a trade-off. You know?
Yes, so, I do know.
So, you know, but so we've been doing that. Looking forward to season two of The Mandalorian. I'm getting really excited about that. Because that's going to be ridiculously awesome. You know, and so that, I mean, that's me.
Yeah, and and we're selling Scentsy products.
Yeah, yeah, there's that.
I saw that.
I'm busy with that. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. And you know, I'm crazy about their products. I always have been. So, you know, that's something that keeps me occupied quite a bit of the time. So,
Yeah.
Oh, very cool. Where can people go to check out your products?
You can go to my Facebook page. That's probably the easiest place, and that's facebook.com/BeccaLombardo1973. And Becca is spelled BEKA. I don't spell it the traditional way.
No, there's nothing traditional about my wife. I will never forget when we first met and she told me how to spell her name. And she's like, Becca. I'm like, okay. And she says, B-E-K-A. And I'm like, all right. And she says, and this is going to really date us, but she's like, she says to me, you know, like the old Sega ads, you know, Sega. You know,
I had a friend who gave me the nickname, and that's how he used to say it. He would say, it's just like Sega. Mega!
Oh my gosh. So, that's awesome. I remember Sega, the Sega Genesis. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Oh man. So
that always stuck with me, you know, back to when we first met, and I still think of it now, you know, 20 plus years later. Mm-hmm. And it puts a smile on my face.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
Yeah. In fact, I thought about getting that tattooed on me once, you know, like the Sega logo, but it says Becca.
Oh, that would be so cool.
Well, she's got my name on her, so I figure, you know, turnabout is fair play.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
Totally.
Yeah.
Definitely. Very neat. Well, what about, could you guys talk to me about the hashtag, which I love, is keep talking mental health, or MH?
Yeah, it was something that I was seeing hashtags like I'm not ashamed and
sick not weak.
Yeah, sick not weak. That's a good one. And depression army. And I started to think about something that was more broad that I hoped would be catchy for people. And I went on a website that you can register hashtags for. It's, you know, like $9 you can register a hashtag. And I started putting in things like keep talking, and that obviously was already taken. And then I put in keep talking MH, and it wasn't taken. I thought, you know, jackpot, I've got it. And started using it on Twitter immediately, and it became very popular. And, you know, I was really excited. I had a couple of days where I was trying to get it trending, and I had people like Kevin Smith and Mick Foley from WWE, and there's a couple of WWE stars, and
DDP, you know, here's another one.
DDP, yeah, and AJ Lee, and Kevin Murphy from Mystery Science Theater 3000, and Niambi from Mike and Molly, and just people like that. And it was really exciting for me, and it became really popular, and it's got 20,000 hits a day on Instagram.
Yeah, oh, wow.
Unfortunately,
that's impressive.
Yeah, doesn't have that many on Twitter anymore. The presence has kind of decreased a little bit, and I'm hoping that talking about it on, you know, things like your show will bring it back a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just raise the profile on it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I'll still go through, and if I see somebody, whether I follow them or not, and they post something mental health related, you know, I'll retweet it with the hashtag just to try and get it out there more. And, you know, it's a great, it's great because it is all encompassing, you know, it doesn't specifically point to one particular mental illness. You know, it's keep talking about all the mental illnesses, you know, with Keep Talking MH, you know, it goes hand in hand with our podcast. You know, the thing with our show is that we have on guests from all sorts of different backgrounds that they are afflicted with all different kinds of mental illness.
Or not.
They or not.
Be physicians or bloggers or...
So there's some kind of connection to the mental health community.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's nice because we're able to shine a light on different topics that maybe you don't hear so much about, like dissociative identity disorder, or OCD, or, you know, borderline personality disorder, CPTSD, you know, child sexual abuse, all these different wide ranging topics, in addition to bipolar disorder, and, you know,
depression and anxiety.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are the marquee ones, of course, but there's so much more out there that people deal with, and trying to normalize these topics and make them as open to discussion without any feeling of taboo, like other afflictions, like cancer, you know, or diabetes, or stubbing your toe, you know, I mean, just something common,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
The more we make it a common thing, the more accepted it'll be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
That's a big thing for us, and especially with talking with Emmy yesterday, you know, just the whole concept of acceptance, you know, that took it to a whole new level.
Mm-hmm.
But having acceptance of, you know, we're all in this together, we're all humans, you know, things get talked about in the abstract a lot, you know, not just mental health, but you know, wide ranging topics. And to be able to humanize these topics and put it in your own backyard and point to it and say, hey, this is happening to my neighbor, or this is happening to my daughter or my brother, or, you know, my mom, or, you know, different things like that. When you can put a face to a situation, it tears down your walls a little bit more. And, you know, you're willing to put more thought and care into it and say, well, you know, this sits kind of close to home. You know, how do I really feel about this?
Right.
You know, I mean, then it's not the other guy. Then it's, well, that's my person, you know, or it's me.
Yes. You know? Yes. Yeah. It makes it real.
Absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
Absolutely. Does. You know, that's the thing that's I think lost, certainly in this day and age, you know, I mean, even seeing it with COVID-19 going on, you know, we're seeing that where there's people that want everything to open up and there's people that don't want to wear masks and all this stuff. And, you know, they're like, well, you know, they like saying, well, my body, my choice, you know, and, you know, trying to take from that particular argument. And it's like, well, in this, you know, this situation is different. You know, it's not so much that it's doing it to protect you. It's doing it to protect the others around you, you know? And I think that's,
yes.
I think that's what's lost, you know? So it's just love, you know, that's the main thing is what I'm trying to get at is we just, we need to love each other and have concern and compassion for those of us around us.
Yes. And like you were saying, Joe, acceptance and just like, you know, this whole thing with awareness, especially with COVID-19. I mean, people are, I don't understand. I actually don't watch the news at all now. My wife has to watch it for me, and then she kind of keeps me in the loop because it's just too triggering for me. I have a lot of physical issues, so I'm in the high risk group. So I haven't been outside in weeks except to like walk the dog. And even then, if I see somebody, I'm like, oh gosh, I'm going the other way. but it's,
You know, and that's, we kind of do the same thing. You know, I stay on top of the news stuff and, you know, try and give back the snippets that.
Yeah, if there's something that I have a question on, I just ask him and he knows how to explain it to me so that it's not triggering. Yeah. And I too have not been out in weeks. We're both actually high risk, which, you know, was kind of a bummer for him having to work, but you know, I have asthma just like you do. And Joe has asthma and diabetes, so
You know, I've been doing pretty well. I did have I'll admit I had a scare in April and I was home for a few days, but I did get tested and came back negative for COVID-19, which I was relieved about. You know, and the thing I kept telling myself the entire time is, you know, my entire life I've gotten respiratory infections this time of year. It has to do with the changing of the weather and my allergies and all this stuff. Since I'm a little kid, I get respiratory infections. So when I get hit with this, I'm like, all right, this could be just, it could be COVID or it could just be something like I always get. And so I went and saw the doctor and she sent me for COVID testing. And got my results back and I was negative and I felt a lot better about that. And she had me on antibiotic for an ear infection.
Oddly enough, ear infection popped up.
An ear infection. Yeah. Oh, really?
So,
oh, wow.
You know, and that cleared up and I feel a lot better, you know, and, you know, with me being essential, you know, I'm doing everything I can to protect myself, you know, wearing masks everywhere I go,
and gloves,
you know, when I'm, well, I always wear gloves when I'm working regardless, you know, you have to, when you do what I do for a living. So, cause you don't know what you're going to encounter. But you know, I've also got a little tiny bottle of hand sanitizer that hangs from my belt now. And I'll use that, you know, during the course of the day. And I've got refills for it on my truck and, you know, just doing everything I can so that I don't bring it home to my family, you know?
Well, I mean, I think this whole COVID thing, I mean, for someone like me and you, Rebecca, and you too, Joe, I mean, since we've all been dealing with this sort of taking care of ourselves, the self-care, through so many years in managing bipolar disorder and getting through with it. I think for me, I've felt, especially the past like week or two, feeling like it's given me kind of a step up to kind of attack this whole like COVID thing, because we've dealt with so much adversity and we do it all the time that some of the people that I know, friends and family and stuff, that have never really experienced much adversity are just like falling at the seams, you know, they're breaking apart because they never had to deal with anything like this. And so I don't know. I was trying to explain that to one of my family members the other day, cause he was trying to get through some stuff and, you know, trying to relate it to what I deal with and the importance of, you know, you might not have a mental illness, but what I do on an everyday basis, you should start doing too. You know, focus with the routine, the schedule, eating right, like all the stuff that we're supposed to. So I just found that interesting.
Yeah, you know, and being able to tell somebody who's who doesn't go through what we normally go through on a daily basis, being able to tell them, look, everything's going to be all right. You know, sometimes that's all I need to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, I tell that to Beck all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, Rebecca, with the, with you kind of dealing with your depression the past couple months, I know you said you went from feeling like you couldn't sleep at all to too much sleep. Was that due to your cycling with the bipolar, or was that more medication?
I'm pretty sure that it's more medication, because I haven't been able to sleep like a normal person in like 30 years. You know, it's Joe can fall asleep anywhere.
Yeah.
He literally can fall asleep absolutely anywhere.
Yeah. I, at sixth grade camp, I got the award for fastest sleeper. Yeah.
Fastest sleeper.
He has a CPAP machine, and all he has to do is put that on and he's just out. And, I am unfortunately not like that. I've struggled with sleep for so, so long. So for it to be part of just the bipolar disorder, I don't think that that's what it is. I'm pretty sure it's the medication being upped, and then I'm on a lot of stuff, but the new stuff is Trileptal and Temazepam. Mm-hmm. And the Trileptal, we went up on 150 milligrams, and the Temazepam was something completely new. So, because I was on Ambien and that wasn't helping. So, the way that I feel during the day is definitely still sort of a drugged out feeling. You know, it's not a depression, more of a depression feeling. It's more of a, you know, druggy, not really focusing kind of feeling.
Like that medication hangover feeling?
Yeah, kind of foggy and not really wearing off, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, that's the worst. I hate that. Because then you can't function.
Right.
Because you can't do anything because you feel so out of it and so crappy. At least that's, you know, what happens with me when that goes on.
And it's been affecting my eyesight. You know, and I'll be honest with you, I fell today earlier this morning. I got up out of bed and I just hit the dirt. It was brutal, and it woke Joe up immediately, and he came running over to see if he could help me get up, and it took some time for me to, you know, figure out how to get up and, you know, steady myself and find the strength, and I finally got it together and got up, but it was rough. I feel like I got hit by a car right now.
Oh man, you didn't like sprain anything or
I
pull anything, did you?
So.
Or break anything?
I think everything is okay. Usually I get bruised really, really easy, and I don't even have I landed on my right knee, and I don't currently even have a bruise, so that's good. You know, I didn't hit my head or anything like that, but
yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. Seriously. Wow. Oh man. Mm-hmm. That's so scary.
It definitely is.
Especially as we get older.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
getting
old sucks.
I know.
Sure does.
I know.
Yeah.
It sure does, doesn't it? I'm just.
Wait till you're our age.
Yeah. We were just. Well, what age are you guys? 40s. Like,
yeah,
I'm 46.
If you want to say. Oh,
yeah, I'm 46.
Oh, so. Okay. 47.
It ain't young, buddy. Oh,
that's not old at all. I'm it's not like a, yeah, you're right. Because I'm turning 42 this year, so I'm getting up near you guys. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, me too.
Yep.
Yeah, you're aging well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thanks.
You're aging better than we are.
Thanks. Oh, thanks. Thanks, Joe.
You're like, I will take that.
But yeah, no, I'm like, that's very nice. Thank you. Yep. Oh, gosh. I totally was going to ask you a question, but I lost my train of thought. No, that's fine. If you want to bring up something else, I can try to think about what I was going to ask.
Well, you know, my book is still for sale. You know, we can talk about that, you know.
Oh, cool.
It came out in 2015, but it's not something that, I mean, you could read it at any time.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, it still holds up. It's still relevant.
Yeah. Relevant is a good word. It's dated as far as when the chapters were written. But it's not so that you couldn't read it at any time and get an understanding of what was going on.
Yeah.
And you can find that on Amazon. Mm-hmm. It's called It's Not Your Journey. Yes.
Yep. It's Not Your Journey.
Folks have asked me why I picked that title, or, you know, why I named it that. And it's, you know, to me, it's obvious. It means that it's not, the book is not about you. It's about me. And, you know, that's something that I want people to keep in mind when they read it, because I've had backlash from folks not really understanding what I was trying to say, or thinking that because they felt differently about some certain topic that my feelings on it weren't valid. So I've struggled with that a little bit, but it's definitely still available out there. And it's still, like Joe said, it's still relevant. Mm. And I think that you can find, if you struggle with any type of mental illness, I think you can find something to relate to in the book.
Yeah. And the other nice thing about it too, is even if you don't struggle with a mental illness, but you have a family member who does, and you're trying to get a better understanding of what they could possibly be going through, it helps in that situation too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one thing that I've always liked about the book, is that it really gives an insight to the mind of a person that has these struggles, you know? So, that's the one thing, is that it's real and it's raw. You know, Beck for sure doesn't sugarcoat anything in it. You know, it's her, you know, it's her heart on her sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Is it, I haven't actually read it yet. I'm sorry to say that. I'm really sorry. but is it mainly just about your story, Rebecca, or is it talk about bipolar disorder, or is it a combination? If somebody was asking, what would you say?
When in 2013, I attempted suicide, and I was hospitalized for that. And I was in two different hospitals, and the latter hospital was a horrible, horrible facility. And I really didn't receive any type of care at all. And when I got out, I decided to start writing about it, because I was struggling with it a lot. And I wanted to talk about my feelings leading up to the attempt, and why there was an attempt, and my feelings after. So I started a blog, and when the blog became popular, I started to wonder, do people turn blogs into books. And when I Googled it, that was something that was possible. So that's what it is basically. It's, mm-hmm. you know, the first year of my blog, and it tells all of, it talks about my childhood. It talks about, you know, my being a teenager and leading all the way up to the suicide attempt and then a little bit thereafter.
It talks about
okay.
her losing her mom and losing her brother Dana. Mm-hmm. They've both passed mm-hmm. away. And just different things like that. It talks about, you know, one of the reasons that she started blogging about it was we tried to see a therapist after she got out. And the therapist in mm-hmm. the first and only session that we went to fell asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. Huh. We were walking out of there looking goodness. At each other going, did you just see that? Did she do what we, yeah, she did. So after that, Beck just started writing as a way of, as a form of therapy, really, just trying to get her thoughts out and, you know,
yeah.
not carry around so much that was weighing her down. And, you know, when she
mm-hmm.
Googled turning it into a book, we thought, well, okay, we need to edit it a little bit so it reads more like a book and less like a blog. And so that's what we did. But it's, you know, the mm-hmm. message is still there. And it's, you know, as you're reading it, you might think, well, this jumps around a little bit, but it's written in chronological order to how she actually approached this stuff. So you can see her progress over the course of a year of these writings and how things kind of change. And we actually have the dates okay. for each entry at the beginning of each chapter. So, yeah. So you know, where she's okay. at in the story, you know, like this is November such and such a day. This is March mm-hmm. such and such a day. What have you, you know?
Joe, I know it sounds like you're a diehard like science fiction guy, like I am too, with like Star Wars, and I haven't seen The Mandalorian, but I've heard good things about it. So
I haven't either.
No,
she hasn't either, but
I have not.
Yeah, I'm done trying to get her on board. The Baby Yoda memes kind of ruined it for her, even though it's freaking adorable.
Oh, yeah.
No, the Mandalorian is incredible. If you are any kind of Star Wars fan, and you have. And you have Disney Plus, get on it.
And I am, yeah.
Watch the first episode today.
oh my gosh, I'm going to be there because we just got Disney Plus too. By all so
means, man, it's the very yeah. when we got it. It's the first thing that I watched was a Mandalorian, and you're lucky in that now you can binge it. When we got it last November, I had to wait and watch mm-hmm. an episode a week because that's how they were releasing them.
Oh,
and,
man,
you're riveted, you know, and the episodes uh-huh. aren't that long, and you want to know what's going to happen next. Mm-hmm. And it's very cool. It takes place 5 years after Return of the Jedi. And, you know, mm-hmm. just, it follows this particular Mandalorian bounty hunter, and he gets a particular bounty and where things go from there, you know, and
mm-hmm.
especially if you're as big of a Star Wars nut as I am, that you've watched the animated stuff like the Clone Wars or Rebels, it pulls in stuff from that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And this season two
very
that's
neat.
Coming out
very cool.
pulls from that stuff too. You know, there's a lot of rumors about season two, like they're bringing back Boba Fett. So they're going to explain hopefully how he survived mm-hmm. the Sarlacc pit. And now we're doing radio for two. And as Beck's eye mm-hmm. glaze over.
As yeah. her, and, she's like,
yeah, yeah. You know, various uh-huh. characters like Ahsoka Tano from Clone Wars and Rebels, they're supposedly mm-hmm. bringing her into the show. And it'll be her first representation as a live-action character. And So, you know, so I'm really, really excited for that just as a Star Wars fan, because it's, you know, people have been real critical of Disney since they bought Lucasfilm. And this particular outing is the first live action Star Wars TV show. They've really gone above and beyond. I think when you watch it, you're going to be impressed.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. I'll definitely have to check it out. Well, Rebecca, what do you like to watch then, if you're not
into science fiction
and stuff like that?
I love the Star Wars movies. And, you know, obviously the original three, you know, I grew up on. So those are my favorite. But the last three were good, but they, you know, the sad stuff killed me. And anytime Carrie Fisher was on screen, I cried. that's the kind of fan I am. I fall over Han Solo.
Yeah.
So, but I'm really, really, really into The Handmaid's Tale. It's absolutely fantastic. It, you know, it's not for the faint of heart.
Or little kids.
Oh yeah, or little kids. Yeah, you know, it's definitely an adult content, but I'm a huge fan of that. And I'm still watching Orange is the New Black quite frequently. And that's another one that's
I've never seen that.
It's very, very adult content.
Yeah.
You want to be ready for it. There's a lot of nakedness,
and there is some triggery kind of stuff at times. So that's, you have to go in watching it with a little grain of salt, you know, and kind of steel yourself sometimes with some of the things that are discussed or some of the things that happen. You know, but it's well written, well acted.
And the actors are just fantastic.
Yeah, all the way around.
I can't think of a single, and it's a huge cast. And I can't think of a single cast member that doesn't pull their weight or isn't fantastic. And the same with the Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. I love stories like that, or shows like that, when they're good, fantastic. Like the
And it's funny, because they actually classify Handmaid's Tale as science fiction.
Yeah.
Because it's about a dystopian. Yeah, they do, because it's about a dystopian future. They do? Even though it's, like, you know, now times, it's still a dystopian future of alternate United States. And, you know, I had a hard time getting into it at first, because the first couple of episodes can be very soul sucking. You know, I had a hard time getting
really
through
them. Prepared.
But once you get through, once you get through those first couple of episodes, then you get hooked. And especially with me and my political leanings, that's how I was able to embrace it. Because you know, you can see some of this stuff actually happening, especially with the current administration, and that's the scary part of it, you know. And you know, just the religious extremism that they represent in the show, where people say, well, that could never really happen. Oh, really? You think so?
That's kind of how American Horror Story was for me too. The first couple of episodes, I really had to had to force myself through, and then eventually, because, you know, every season is completely different on there.
I love that show. I love that show.
It was a little too triggery with all the Trump stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. So,
I
didn't finish that, but I loved the season, the hotel season. I think that was. Yeah, that was five, I think.
And, that was a good one.
With all
the
serial killers, because I actually know a little bit about serial killers. I know.
Oh, why do you laugh like that?
Yeah. I'm laughing because I remember meeting her and her
being like, whoa.
Oh, do you know about Charles Manson? You know, or have you heard about Ted Bundy? And it's like, what? I know. You know, the sweet girl that has the encyclopedia of serial killers.
I do have the encyclopedia of serial killers.
She really does. I'm not exaggerating. You know,
you do awesome.
All the true crime stuff. Uh-huh. She gets me sucked into watching all the true crime stuff. And
oh, that stuff. We love that stuff. My wife and I, we watch that all the time. You know, the different episodes that they show of the different, the police things, you know, where they find the killer or whatever. Sorry, I interrupted you. Go for it.
Early on in our relationship.
Yeah, I don't like the, you know, like NCIS or CSI or whatever. I like the real stuff. The
like
stuff
forensic files.
Forensic files. Yeah.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Or it was a big one, you know, and you know, like now watching things like Making a Murderer.
Yeah.
You know, that was real interesting.
Did you watch that, John?
Mm-hmm.
Making a Murderer?
I started watching the, I watched the first, now, isn't there more than one season? Yeah, I actually didn't finish up the first season, but I know got most of it.
Yeah,
so
that was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was good,
you know,
though, too.
That stuff is in our wheelhouse. And, you know, I make her sit through all the, you know, Marvel movies and stuff. And
the Marvel movies are easy for me to get.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But I got her hooked on that stuff. She had no interest. And then, and I got her to sit through the first couple.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, yeah, you know.
And figure skating. I absolutely love figure skating.
Very cool.
And gymnastics.
Watch cool.
Both of those pretty often.
Yeah. So she's watching that, and I'm watching What We Do in the Shadows. So, you know, but I mean,
Very cool. Very cool.
Did you guys see
season two of American Horror Story?
But I did. Yeah, I saw it.
Oh, you don't? Okay. What did you think of that? I loved it. I just thought it was so intense.
Yeah.
Like in the mental
really
institution
liked
and everything.
Too. It was that guy in that black suit that I don't like. You know, but season two in the mental institution was good. And Jessica Lange is just phenomenal. And you can put her in any role.
I know.
In the show, and she's just absolutely fantastic.
Evan Peters is another one.
Yeah, Evan Peters.
I know.
One of my. Yeah.
Oh, Evan Peters! We love Evan Peters.
I love
We're like
him.
Such
I
big fans
him
of Evan Peters.
Marvel movies too,
and the X-Men.
And X-Men movies, he's fantastic in those.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah, Evan Peters, I'm a big fan of.
Yeah, I'm. I'm curious to see what they do now.
Oh, I am too. Me too.
Those movies, you know,
it would suck if they didn't have him.
Well, they're going to reboot all the movies. You know, that's for sure that they're going to do. But I'm curious to see what they do if they do something else with him. You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see him play the Joker.
Oh, yeah, he'd be good at that. Yeah.
I really think he would
play a good Joker.
He
would. I think he would.
With the new Batman movie that they're working on with Robert Pattinson, the Joker isn't in it. They got the Penguin, and they've got Catwoman, and they've got the Riddler. And, and so they're leaving the Joker out of it for right now. And I'd be curious to see what they do down the road, because there's been so many people that have played great Jokers over the years.
I thought Jared Leto was fantastic.
I did too.
I really liked him a lot.
The guy that they got to play the Joker, Joker or whatever, in Gotham in the TV show, incredible. If you haven't watched Gotham, that's another one to get into.
I haven't.
It's another one that you have to muscle through the first like five episodes, but then it starts to take off and it doesn't stop. And it's riveting seeing Bruce Wayne growing up and all these different characters coming into it, you know, and then finally in the very last episode of the series, he becomes Batman. So that's really, it's a fascinating watch, you know, and the guy that they get to play the Joker, he actually, it's a guy named Cameron Monaghan. And I think he was in Shameless or something. And he's just, he's incredible. He's just amazing. Yeah, just awesome. And when it comes to being a Joker, he was awesome.
Just awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, right up there with Mark Hamill's
Joker. Oh, man.
You know,
So have we talked enough about our TV show?
Yeah, that's right. This is fun for me. I love, most of us, since we're at home so much, it's nice to find some new things to watch, you know? Well, so I think it's fantastic. What we do in
shadows. You know? I kept seeing stuff and seeing the ads. And
there's a movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a movie and there's also a TV show.
Yeah, the movie is brilliant.
Oh.
The movie takes place in New Zealand, and it's done by Taika Waititi. He's the guy that directed Thor Ragnarok. And it's just, it's brilliant.
Oh, okay.
And
where do you get that movie?
It's on Amazon Prime.
Is it okay?
Yeah, you can rent it on Prime. I loved it so much I bought it.
Amazon Prime? Okay.
I think Beck knows that I bought it.
I didn't know you bought it.
I bought it.
Oh, yeah, okay. Cool.
Because I want to watch it again.
Okay.
But the TV show takes place in Staten Island and it's different vampires. And the shenanigans that happens with them, because they bring in different elements from the movie. Like one of the vampires is an energy vampire. So he's a human kind of, but he's one of those people that will walk up to you and talk your ear off and just drain all your energy out of you. You know, it's a funny concept. It really is, you know, and, and you know, all the other vampires are like,
it is a funny concept.
You know, they tell him to shut up and they're kind of mean to him, but they know if they're not, he's going to drain all their energy from them. So it's just, it's ridiculous, but it's funny, you know.
He loves the show so much. He's got the show's ringtone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The show's theme is my ringtone and my notification sound.
That's great, Joe.
They can change into bats and fly away. Okay. Mm-hmm. And when they do, they yell bat and then they fly away. And that's my notifications for like messages and stuff.
Scares the crap out of me every time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. I was gonna say, does that scare you? Okay, when you hear this,
another mutual friend of ours. You know Erica Rave, don't you? No. Oh, okay. She's
who's that? She's, no, I don't think so.
To reach out to and get to know.
She, maybe
actually battles DID, dissociative identity disorder, and she's a huge fan of the of the show, and will pop in with different things on each other's posts once in a while. You know, she had a post last week of a bat, and I forget what the story was about, and I chimed in with something from the show and she was rolling. So you know,
she's fantastic.
Yeah, she's wonderful. She's an incredible artist. Awesome. And just fascinating to talk to. Very soft spoken and just very sweet.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one thing that
so cool.
We've discovered over the last few years with being on Twitter is all the wonderful people in the mental health community that we've met, like you, Erica, Anjanette Page is another one, Erez Sheck, that's another one. All these great folks that, you know, their hands are all in different baskets of things, but you know, it's awesome knowing all these people, knowing you and all that, because we, you know, we're all on the same journey You know, yeah. We might have our hands on different oars, but we're all rowing in the same direction. And that's pretty cool. You know? Thanks.
I love that, Joe. That's awesome. Yes. Very cool. Oh, cool. Well, I don't know if you guys, I know it's been almost an hour and I don't want to take up any more of your time.
It's been good catching up.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it has. I know. This is so awesome. And the cool thing about these podcasts is that, like, when I'm not live, if there's something that you don't want, or we get off on a tangent, yeah. We're just like, oh, we better not. We don't really want that. I can just take it out or whatever. So it's kind of cool. Yeah.
We're kind of live.
I know. Yeah. I know you guys.
It's like, oh, there's another one of those bad jokes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that. So. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Hey, I'll keep your jokes on here, Joe.
I'm
okay,
really fighting the urge to tell a bad joke right now. So
sure.
I'm not because I'm getting a dirty look from my wife.
Oh, tell it. Tell it.
All right. So the past,
okay,
the future, walk into a bar. It was tense.
That's the joke.
Yeah.
That's it? Oh, that's all I see now. Oh, my God.
I love that joke.
I'm kind of slow on the uptake.
A rabbit and an atheist walk into a bar. The rabbit says, I think I'm a typo.
Oh, I get it.
rabbit instead of rabbit.
You do? I don't get it. Rabbit. Oh,
priest,
gosh.
Priest, a rabbi, and an atheist walk into the bar. The bartender looks at him and says, what do you think this is? Some kind of joke? Yeah, I know. It's pretty terrible.
Oh, gosh.
Thank you. I love terrible jokes.
Like, I think that's great, so. Joe. That's fine. I love corny jokes. We always tell them around here. So
humor makes a great mess.
It's always good. But,
yeah. Great way to deflect things when you know, if you can
it does.
Make other people laugh and bring some brevity to a situation, then you know,
you find me on the most. And that's at Becca Lombardo, BekaLombardo.
Yep. And my Twitter handle is a little more embarrassing. It's at PowerSlave1974. And let me explain that. Since I'm 12, 13 years old, I'm a huge fan of Iron Maiden, a British metal band. And one of their albums from 1984 is called Power Slave. And it's...
Yeah.
How I was introduced to them. It's my favorite recording of theirs. And so it means a lot to me. And, you know, the combination of that and 1974 is the year I was born. So I've had that as what's been my email for over two decades. So I thought, well, all right, I'll use that for Twitter, not thinking that we were going to be so involved in a mental health community at the time, you know. And so that's me. And it's funny because I feel bad that there's a guy actually out there that is at Joe Lombardo, and I'm sure he gets tagged in all sorts of stuff, and he's like, why am I getting this, you know?
Yeah, there is definitely. I've seen it.
Yeah. I've seen it personally, so. mine is actually at Power Slave 1974. So that's best way to reach me. And then Beck also has a website, www.RebeccaLombardo.com. And there's all sorts
all
of
stuff.
All
my stuff
there.
Is on there, the book and the podcast. And I have another blog, Survivor's blog, on there. So, everything and all my social media is on there as well.
Yeah. And for me, Twitter's the easiest way to reach out to me. I keep Facebook as a little more personal So, yeah. So if you want to reach out to me, just Twitter is the best way.
Okay.
Not you, John. You got my phone number. You can call me. You can call me anytime you want.
Cool. Sounds good.
Hey, what's up? You know.
Yeah, I do. That's right. I can call you. Yeah. Cool.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Yeah. Thanks, John.
And, cool. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Rebecca.
If you found this podcast episode helpful in any way, please consider pledging financial support to me and my mission of empowering those of us living with bipolar disorder. Your pledge allows me the ability to record these episodes and provide them to you. Thank you for your consideration.